This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive, activist.
We hope to be able to support the influence of games on supporting all communities and being able to make games a safe place for everybody. It's one of our really, really strong initiatives and something that I feel that the vast majority of people who work in games is very passionate about. And
this is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. It's Unite 16. It's got nothing to do with sports. Not really. Although someone said to me, Unite 16, is that a new team? A new soccer team? And I said, no, but never mind. It's Melbourne, and we've got this one of the speakers here. We have Dr. Jennifer Hazel. She's the executive director at Checkpoint. So welcome to Broad.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So what is Checkpoint?
Checkpoint is a non-profit organisation that acts to connect mental health care resources with video games and technology. So we help with video game therapy for vulnerable people and less fortunate communities, and we also help the tech and video games industries by supporting their mental health and to help them to represent issues more appropriately in the media.
Yes, I mean, it's an area that I guess is of interest with so many people who are developers and checking in to be okay. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
I feel like if we're going to try to encourage screens to represent social issues more appropriately, for example, mental health issues, then we need to start by supporting their mental health, because you can't represent something that you're not educated about, and if you're not looking after yourself or you don't have the tools to look after yourself, how can you be expected to kind of set the agenda for the public that are receiving your product? So I think, you know, we have an obligation to help the devs and the creators to support themselves first.
Now, of course, I guess for a lot of our listeners, they're all thinking about what might seem quite obvious, obviously, harassment that happens in particular online, on Twitter, other social media formats, platforms. I mean, what can you tell us about that? It's such a big, it's a bit like the elephant in the room sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a huge topic, and I think the more it's coming to the forefront, the more some of the braver members of our communities are attempting to do something about it. And there's two ways that you can look at that, really, because there's stopping it from happening, which is a long and ongoing issue and something that's going to take basically a societal change in the way that we perceive and the attitudes and the way that we teach people to interact with the online world. And that's a long-term project. But then the other aspect of it is supporting those people who are affected to cope with what's happening. And that's another way that we can come in as a company that acts at that intersection between mental health and games and technology, because I think it's important to represent these issues with a balance. And it's all well and good for us to say, you know, that video games can be helpful to mental health, and we believe that they can, but you also have to provide that opposing balanced view that there's also dangers, and one of those dangers is the fact that it's an anonymous online community a lot of the time, and with anonymity it comes the risk of people being inappropriate and harassing. So it's the really nice thing is how much is going on in the games and tech communities to support victims of harassment and support our community to be able to deal with how to look at those issues in a productive way, and how to gain some resilience towards it. And it's not the best, it's not the catch-all solution to just tell people to have a thicker skin. There needs to be a more, you know, deep change in attitudes, but it's one way that we can assist each other to cope while that's happening.
Yeah, it is a big one. Something recently, just in comics, nothing to do with video games, but there was the case of Chelsea Kane, who's a writer for Mockingbird. It's a comic, issue number 8. She put a, well, she had the cover done where it shows Mockingbird, the character, the main protagonist. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I saw this going around on Twitter.
Yeah,
wearing it. Absolutely. She had a feminist t-shirt on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll tell you about my feminist agenda or something. And yes, basically driven off social media by the harassment. Is there something similar, have you found, like, obviously, in games?
Yeah.
It happens more than...
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a few different examples of things like that happening, and... It's not appropriate, but it's, again, something that, as a community, we can come and support each other around. The ironic thing about that comic book issue is that, yes, that particular comic got cancelled, but it got cancelled, like, heaps before any of that happened, and it was nothing to do with anything. So it's just one of those things that people latch on to. And I think in any environment in society where you... are able to get kind of like a mob or a group of people that share an agenda, there's going to be differing opinions. And again, it's one of those things where we'd like to incite a societal change where we can actually encourage people's attitudes to be completely different in regards to how they behave around one another. But in the meantime, I think it's really important that we as women and allies come together to support one another.
And your background, I mean, doing something like this, it's a huge undertaking. You're in Sydney.
Yes.
So it's based in Sydney Checkpoint.
It's nationwide. Mm-hmm. We have 3 directors, 2 are in Sydney and 1 is in Adelaide. And we have volunteers in pretty much every state apart from NT and WA. At this point, so we've got active, and we'd love to extend our work, our work up there, particularly Northern Territory, to the more vulnerable rural communities as well that could really benefit from tech. But at the moment, we've got a volunteer base of about 35 people that are going around and delivering our activities in a variety of locations. So some of them are. More mainstream, like inner city places. Recently, we worked at an event in Sydney by the community service Weave, who provide they kind of get young people who are less privileged off the streets and give them, you know, better ways to kind of spend their time. And we gave game therapy there, and we're looking at getting programming courses in for those underprivileged kids as well. It's really wonderful. We're so excited about it. We started just a few months ago, so we're so pleased that we're able to have that kind of interstate presence already, which reflects, I think, on the population who are receiving the service, their uptake and their embracing of it is so big and overwhelmingly positive, and we're just thrilled that people are as passionate about this as we are, to be honest.
Because, I mean, you're speaking here at Unite 16, and by yourself as well, and you said to me off air that you're so passionate you could talk forever about this, something like this. Yeah. What's driven you to come to this point to be involved in
So I'm a medical doctor. That's my full-time job. I specialise in psychiatry, so I'm on the psychiatry training program. And I have always had a passion for video games. And once I kind of started working in psychiatry and learning more about it and exploring different aspects of mental health, it was a natural progression for me to link that to the enjoyment and passion that I've had for video games. And then I doing more literature searches, I realised that I wasn't alone. There are a lot of, a variety of people, clinicians and tech and, you know, people that aren't involved in either industry who are also interested in this intersection, and there's actually evidence behind it. So it's not just something of, oh, I like this, maybe I should put them together. There's scientific reasons why video games would be good for well-being and psychological state of mind, and it's all to do with motivation and kind of the positive feedback loop that you get when you're in a game. So, and there's a few different psychological theories that apply to it and very powerful studies that can prove that that's the case. Mm. So once I started realizing that there were these links, I started thinking, well, how can I contribute to this? And as someone who was already involved in the gaming community through kind of personal reasons, it became a natural progression to link the two and try to reach out to the community that I cared so much about and provide them with the resources that would help this intersection to grow. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here talking at Unite about the representation of mental illness on screen. So this talk is specific to games, but it's something that can apply to all screen. Mm. So TV, films, everything. And my talk's based on the MindFrame guidelines. Someone's just coming in. Hello. Just take a little break for a minute.
That's good. I was going to ask you too about the obvious that happened this year, Pokemon.
Oh yeah, of course.
And of course, people are saying, you know, there are benefits for that. So Pokemon Go, how good is that for people's mental well-being?
So
if you're a gamer, obviously.
Yeah, look, we haven't got any studies that are, you know, of course, controlled and official, but we have a lot of anecdotal evidence, and Checkpoint actually performed our own very informal survey of the population, which recruited about 1,700 people to discuss the impact that Pokemon Go and playing it had on their mental health and well-being. And the response was overwhelmingly positive. I think it was something like 70 to 75% of our respondents said that Pokemon Go had improved their mental health and well-being. A further 19% were neutral, and it was only the remainder after that that said that there was a negative impact, which of course is valid as well, and we looked into the reasons for that. The main benefits that people cited were that there was a motivating resource that was helping to get outside, interact with their community, get some exercise, and there was a social benefit as well of people coming together to share that experience. Now, the virality of Pokemon Go has kind of weaned off a bit, but that doesn't mean that augmented reality as a concept and as a game mechanic can't continue to be developed for this specific purpose. And I can certainly see it. Oh, it's great. I can certainly see it being integrated into traditional psychological therapies for, like, between session work, you know, like, I want you to go out and catch 10 Pokemon this week. And that's, like, you know, the client's homework or whatever. Yeah. And then they end up with this very motivating, inherently pleasurable reason to go out and do something that's good for them, get exercise and be outside and really connect with their environment and their community. So I think
many applications for something like this, and for your area as well. And again, it's, you know, there's been complaints. It was quite probably one of the biggest things that happened this year. But I think forward in the future, it'll probably be one of the, you know, historically one of the things that will help change
perceptions. Yes, I think it's really I completely agree, because it was so so widely covered by media that was traditionally not interested in games, you know, or not interested, but just wouldn't necessarily have covered that in any other way, because it was so popular. It was, we were quite excited about it, because it was like, oh, hey, this is something we can get on the back on and really prove to the wider audience what we believe to be true. And so, yeah, it was a really exciting time to kind of spread that message in a way that it was going to be received by a much wider audience.
So imagine if being released on Halloween.
Yes, well,
that'd have been a crazy one. Yeah. Or maybe something will happen in the next 24 hours or 12 hours.
I know that they've released a whole bunch of updates there's a lot more collaborative work on there now, so you can trade with your friends. It's more like a traditional Pokemon game, where
that's cool.
A big aspect of the game was not only competing but also working together to, you know, enhance both of your experiences.
A group effort, a group
Yeah, absolutely.
Exercise and you're meeting total strangers you wouldn't normally meet. It's quite interesting.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Without any, I haven't heard of any seriously really bad stuff.
No, I think
maybe some urban myths, but
yeah, look, there was a couple. I know that there was a few injuries, but if you think about
just
statistics,
be careful when you're walking.
Yeah. Well, there's warnings in the app, but statistically, so many people were using it that it was probably the baseline of who was going to have accidents anyway. In that, you know, sample of people.
It's probably safer than driving though. Still, I don't know. Now, because we are an LGBTIQ radio station. I didn't give you a heads up about that, probably. But of course, talking about the importance of representation in games and mental well-being and health, what can you tell us about? Obviously, that is important.
Absolutely. Mm. Look, that's something that's being looked at with increasing passion and frequency in games, and it's something that is unfortunately quite controversial. Mm. I think the traditional game user is perhaps maybe a bit protective over what they consider a game to be, and as we branch out and make games that are more narratively diverse and they include more diverse characters and topics that traditionally weren't really being discussed in games but have been being discussed in movies and TV and other forms of media for perhaps centuries, in fact definitely centuries, that for some reason that's come with a controversy to it.
Mm.
Hi. Good. The team are working so hard.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people will be going from this to work at PAX as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the weekend.
Yeah, there's GCAP in between too.
Of course. Yeah. And then the awards and everything else. Yeah. I think you're part of that as well. You'll be here for the whole...
So I'm talking today about the representation of mental illness in games and on screen and how we can improve that and the benefits of improving that. Tomorrow I'm talking at GCAP about how to look after your mental health as a developer. And then during PAX we have a booth in the Diversity Lounge called the Checkpoint. Of course, which is going to be displaying a few of the different games that people have found helpful for their mental health. So you can come and chill out, put some headphones on and just play some games, whether it be to try and improve your well-being or because you want to check out some cool games. So we'll be there all weekend from 10 to 8 in the Diversity Lounge.
Well, we'll probably see you there.
Yes.
No doubt.
I'm sure. Diversity Lounge is such a great initiative.
Yeah, it is.
It's
great.
So important. And obviously,
Alice and Karma.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
they're fantastic.
They are great.
So it's really important to have spaces like that, which goes back to what we were talking about, representation of diverse communities in games and making sure that the spaces that we create are safe for everybody. And I think that that's such an important thing. And of course, in particular, LGBTIQ issues, there's are higher associations with mental health issues. You know, one example comes to mind is the transgender community have much higher rates of suicide, unfortunately, because there's such a stigma in society around it. And we hope to be able to support the influence of games on supporting all communities and being able to make games a safe place for everybody. It's one of our really, really strong initiatives and something that I feel that the vast majority of people who work in games is very passionate about. And you know, a lot of the controversy is unfortunately created by the very loud minority.
Yes. We shall name those ones. Indeed. We know who they are.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, excellent. Look, I'll let you go because there are so many different panels and talks and things happening today. Just way too many. But it's a good thing. So for Unite 16 Melbourne, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer?
I really enjoyed it and appreciate that. Thank you.
Where can people go to find out more about Checkpoint?
Checkpoint.org.au is our website, and we're on Twitter at Checkpoint.org and Facebook Checkpoint Organisation. So we've got all sorts of activities and events coming up that you can check out and look at the different resources we've got available.
Do you have any offices in, happening in Melbourne?
We're based at the Arcade.
You are? Oh, right, of course.
So
everyone's there.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
League of Geeks and everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us on Broad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
BROAD.
BROAD. That's it. Yep. I had to think about that.
Yeah, it's funny because we say in American English, we say broad.
Oh, okay. Well, you say it in your American tongue.
Should I say it with an American accent?
Please. Yeah, please do.
Okay. This is Jamie Babbitt, the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.